I love this time of year. I love it because everything, you know, we get more and more college is going to come back. More and more are going to come. More and more are going to come. Next week, going to have more and more people. It's just going to be absolutely exciting as we welcome people to our community and let them know that we love Jesus and that we want to share him with everyone we come in contact with. I also love this every 4 years because it's the Olympics. I was an athlete. I played football, basketball, played football in college, and I enjoy them. I tape all of the Olympics. I tape just the evening one, and I watch it. I watch all of it every night. I'm going to bed kind of late because I'm taping it and then speeding through the commercials and all that stuff. It's been great. There's 208 countries, 11,543 athletes, 311 events that they have for medals. And I think about the Olympics and where it started. The ancient Olympic Games were primarily a part of a religious festival in honor of Zeus. That's how it started back in 700 BC. The father of all the Greek gods and goddesses. It was a festival, and the games were held in Olympia. And were there to honor these Greek gods and goddesses. The ancient games began, as I said, in 776 BC, when a cook from a nearby city, Elis, won the Stadian race. Now, the main race that they had, they actually only, when it first started, there was just one race. It was called the Stadian race. It's about 600 feet long. It was, it's where we get our word stadium today. Actually, stadium means a standing place. They would stand along this line about 600 feet long and watch this guy run and see who could be the best runner. Best guy on the foot. And as I said, it's where we get our name, stadium today. 600 feet long. Although the ancient games were staged in Olympia, Greece, from 776 through 393 AD, over 12 centuries long, they did these games, and they added to these games. It just started with a foot race, but then they started adding all sorts of games and discus and javelin and weight wrestling and stuff like that. It went on for 1,200 years, and then it took an absence of 1,500 years. And then it started back up again, our modern-day Olympics, in 1896. 1896, 120 years ago, and we've only been going for 120 years. It's been going for 12 centuries. It's one-tenth the time is all it's been going from when it first started. These Olympics are happening right now, and they're in our culture, but I want you to know that in the writings in Hebrews that we're reading right now as a church, we're going through the book of Hebrews and the idea of what was happening in the culture, they were well aware of Olympian athletes. That was a part of their culture. They understood games, and gaming was a very, very important thing. As a matter of fact, the Greeks educated their children from 6 to 16. From 6 to 16, they educated them with books and learning and all of that. At 16 years of age, all of those Greek kids were supposed to go and get involved in a sport. Then they were trained in sports. It was a very, very important thing in their culture. And it's a very, very important thing in our culture today. It seems to be a thing that's kind of carried on. And Paul uses this whole aspect about athletics in some of his writings, because it was current day, it was current. And as it's current right now, I wanted to talk a little bit about it. I think about the games of the first Olympiad. It was a multi-sport thing that our modern day, they had about 9 events that were in it. And they've added and subtracted events all the way through till we get to today, 2016. And there's 28 different events in the Olympics. We have aquatic swimming, diving, synchronized swimming, and water polo. That's one. We have archery. Then there's badminton. Do you know what the number one played sport in the world is? Number one played sport is soccer. Okay, by everybody. Do you know what the number two played sport in the world is? Huh? I gave it to you. Badminton. Can you believe that? Number two played sport in the world by people is badminton. And we don't even ever see it on TV, right? Go Jamie Gleason and Mono, right? I used to be in their badminton group. They can hit that badminton, that little birdie, 200 miles an hour. Whew. So there's basketball, boxing, canoe and kayaking, cycling, track, road, mountain bike, and BMX. There's equestrian. There's fencing. There's football, which we call soccer. There's golf that just got added this year. Gymnastics, artistic, rhythmic, and trampolining gymnastics. Then they have handball and hockey, not ice hockey, but field hockey. You know, field hockey is about fourth or fifth played in the United. I mean, it's amazing worldwide. We just don't see all these sports. Then they have judo, and then the modern pentathlon. Has anybody heard of the modern pentathlon? No, it's an Olympic event. It's been there for, I think, 100 years. Do you know what happens in this? It's five events. Five events. The first event, and I don't know how these guys correlate at all, and I don't know who came up with this. The first event, fencing. Okay? After you do your fencing, this is a one-day event. After the fencing, then you do a 200-meter freestyle swim. Just after you get your fencing done, jump in the pool. After you get out of the pool, you do show jumping. You get on a horse, and you do a bunch of jumping. I have no idea. This is the Olympics, okay? People are getting medals for this. After that, there's a combined event. Want to make it a little tougher? They're going to have you, number four, shoot a pistol during a two-mile cross-country run. Okay, let me tell you what. People shouldn't be shooting pistols while they're running. I'm telling you that. They shouldn't. That's what it is. Then there's rowing, rugby, sailing, shooting, table tennis, taekwondo, tennis, track and field, triathlon, volleyball, indoor and beach, weightlifting, wrestling, Greco-Roman, and freestyle. There's a lot of stuff going on. But you know what I love best about the Olympics is the backstory. The story about all these athletes and the dedication it took. You look at Michael Phelps, 23 gold medals, 28 medals total, been in five Olympics. He's been in Olympics half of his life. He's 31 years old. He started when he was 15. Half of his life has been dedicated towards swimming and probably before that. I can't imagine all that he's gone through. He has more medals, accumulated medals, total medals, in his time there, than 107 other countries have total. If he were a country unto himself, he would be 39th in all-time medal count. Where do you live? I live in the country of Phelps. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. I like gymnastics too. The final five. Simone Biles and Ali Raisman and Gabby Douglas and Lori Hernandez and Madison Koshin, right? The final five. I that little Simone, I always call her the wrong name, but Carrie's going, hi, did I hit it right this time? I got it right. Her legs are bigger around than my waist, I'm telling you. That gal is absolutely amazing. She's an amazing gymnast, raised by her grandparents. Her mother had a drug problem. Going through a lot of issues. She was in foster homes. Her grandparents adopted her and raised her up. And that gal is absolutely incredible. I love the stories of Ali Raisman. I like her mother. Have you watched her mother watch her in the event? Look at this. Watch her mother. She's watching the event. And it's just how I watch it too. Here's her mom watching her in the event. She can't look. She can't peek. No! No! Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Oh, 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 come on. Come on. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. Come on. You can do it. You can do it. Oh. Back over there. Back over there. Back flip. Come over there. Now, I've watched my kids sometimes like that, wondering what they're doing. You know, and I was laughing at her parents, oh my gosh, can't she take it? And I go, I can't take it. When I was watching that, and they were doing the balance beam, I just sped ahead to see if they fell off, they went back and rewound it and go, okay. Just enjoy it. Enjoy it right here. Okay, great. Oh, I know she's not going to fall off. Because the pressure of knowing if they can fall off that doggone beam is just too much, man. It eats me up. It's not fun watching that. But when you know, oh, and I see your score, I go, okay, great, I'm going to watch this, man. This is going to be really good. This is going to be awesome. I love it. Love it. But I think about the dedication that people are pursuing dreams and their willingness to pay the price to achieve greatness. Look what they have done to achieve greatness. And I'm wondering if God is asking us, will we do what's necessary to achieve greatness for Him? Will we do things great for our God? There's a lot of sacrifice involved in being an Olympic champion. Willingness to pay a price is done by few to achieve something that few ever will get. These Olympic champions have done amazing things, and I want to talk about being a champion. About being a champion, because when the church first started, after Christ's resurrection, I'll tell you what, there were some champions for Christ, but that championship cost them a lot. For a lot of them, it cost them a lot of persecution. To a bunch of them, the ultimate sacrifice, and that was execution. For one reason, because they named Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and the culture of the day just couldn't quite understand it and made a scapegoat of them. But there are people who stood strong for Jesus Christ. And during this time, Paul was talking to his protege, Timothy, and he was trying to tell him, hey, I understand it's difficult, it's hard, but I want you to take a strong stand for this thing called Christianity because the prize is so well worth it. Would you stand with me as we go through the scriptures we're going to go through this morning? We're going to go through Timothy, and 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. 1 Corinthians, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word that inspires us and changes us. Paul's willingness to pay the price was profound. He's writing this from prison because in a few months he's going to die. He's going to be executed. His very last words that Paul wrote, Aaron talked about that a couple of weeks ago. If the very last words that he spoke were important to his protege, Timothy, he wanted to talk to him. He's under arrest. He's awaiting execution. He's being guarded by soldiers. And he's talking to Timothy about, here's my last words to you, son. These are my last words. This is what's important to me. He says, you therefore must endure, not might endure, but must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. When you look back in the manuscripts, some of the oldest translations will say, endure hardship with me. Endure hardship with me. Paul was there undertaking all of this that was happening, and he was enduring hardship. He was in prison. He was being guarded by Romans, and life was hard right then. And he tells his protege, life is going to be hard sometimes, son. It's going to be hard sometimes. Even though you're a Christian and Jesus Christ is in your life, there's going to be hardship sometimes. You may be sick. You may have financial problems. You may have issues, but he says, hang in there. Having Christ in your life isn't some sort of magic wand that erases every problem you'll ever have, but it gives you the person who will take you through every problem you can ever have and give you victory on the other side. But he says, you've got to endure. You've got to stay in there. You can't just bail on this thing called Christianity because it's getting tough, because it's getting hard. Don't bail on it. Stay in there. Because our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is going to help you through all of these hardships that you're going through. As I said, whether it's financial, relational, problems at work, problems at home, problems with your life, problems with sin. There's hardships, and he says, don't give up. Don't give in. Fight like a champion. Fight like a champion. Take a stand. Take a stand. Now, Paul, in this first text, he's going to use three different metaphors. He's going to talk about a soldier, because there was a soldier right there, and they all knew about soldiers. They all knew about the Romans. He's going to talk about athletics, an athlete, and they all knew about it. He's going to talk about a farmer, and they all knew about it. He was using the culture of the day and what was happening right then to help them understand what he was talking about when we endure in our relationship and our walk with Jesus Christ. When it gets hard, it's easy to walk with Jesus when you go, oh, Lord, give me a parking spot. And all of a sudden, and you just pull in. It's awesome. Or when you're praying for something, he answers immediately. But what happens when you have to knock and keep knocking, ask and keep asking? What happens when you have to keep on keeping on when it's hard and it's harder and it's hardest? He's saying, hey, champions, athletes, soldiers, farmers, they know how to keep on keeping on in hardship. They know how to keep going when there's a drought and keep going for the next season and keep not stop. He's talking to us about our Christian walk here. And he's using these three illustrations. He's going to talk about endurance. He's going to talk about hard work so we can be champions for him. The first one here is about a soldier. I'm going to give you two components to the soldier. I think four components to the athlete and one component to the farmer. This soldier, Roman soldier's single-minded purpose, his rigorous discipline, and his unquestioned obedience to his commanding officer combined to make the figure of a soldier an apt one for a servant of the gospel. That illustration. First, it says here, he must endure hardship. We must endure hardship. I was telling the JCDs, just the facts of life. I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but I'm saying, hey, if your life is going really great right now, there'll be some hardship. It's going to happen. And if your life is going really, really hard right now, hey, it's going to get great. It's going to get awesome. It's going to happen. There's going to be seasons of life. And if there wasn't seasons of life, I think it'd probably get a little bit boring. But God uses the seasons of life and the difficulties that happen and the blessings that come and all of that to train us and to cause us to go deeper in our relationship with Christ, because we don't serve a Santa Claus. We serve a risen Savior who was scarred and bruised and wounded and broken for our transgressions. And there's just something about working hard, moving through it, and getting to the other side and getting the gold medal, getting crowned at the end. And let me say, for the hard work, the enduring hardship, there is a reward at the end. And it's amazing. He says also that we must not be entangled as we continue on. No one entangled in warfare entangles himself, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. He's totally committed to his commanding officer. He's always at the disposal of his commanding officer. He's not entangled with other things. He's on duty, on call. And that word engaged in warfare means to serve in a military campaign, but also the definition in the Strong's Concordance says this, to contend with carnal inclinations. No one engaged in warfare, he's saying, we're all engaged to contend with carnal inclinations. Fleshly inclinations. Fleshly desires. Something that happens. Something you see and it just zips by and your flesh goes, oh, and it's hard to say, no, I'm not going there. We get engaged in warfare. We contend with all sorts of stuff out there. And it's difficult. A tough boss. Difficult relationship. As I said, the finances, all of these things create a sense of pressure and hardship on us. And Paul is saying, hey, endure, because there's a God in heaven who will give you a grace and an anointing to stand strong and to move through and be on the top stand at the end. The word entangles is the word to entwine. Interesting. We talk a lot about entwining with the Lord, to entwine with Him, to be connected with Him, to be one with Him. And here's the other thing. As we're one with the Lord, there's something else trying to grab hold of us, to entwine us, to pull us away from our entwining with the Lord. It's trying to entwine us into the things of this world. It kind of throws its little roots at us and its little things, and it tries to get a hold of us and tries to suck us in and pull us into what's going on. Have you ever walked? I've got a lot of projects going on, so my garage is kind of a mess right now, and I got even junk outside. All this stuff I'm working on and projects and tools and everything. And I was walking through my garage, and I was trying to pick a path because it's just a lot of stuff in there right now. I hate it like that, but it's what it is. I'm enduring hardship. And as I'm stepping, all of a sudden I step, a cord or something grabbed hold of my well, it didn't grab hold, but I went through it. And all of a sudden, I'm going to take my next step, and I lose my balance. And now, and as soon as I'm falling, and then all of a sudden my foot comes free. But then I'm trying to get my foot and trying to figure out, where do I put it down? Because I'll break that, I'll bust that, I'll maim that. It's, just boom, landed somewhere. And then I didn't land very gracefully there. So I have to hop to something else, and I'm hopping through this thing till I get my balance back again. You know, sometimes life is full of that. Things that kind of mess us up, bump us off our game, get us off our stride. We're just walking along, and whoa, oh, oh, oh. And he's saying, watch out. You have an adversary who's trying to trip you up. You have an adversary who's trying to make it harder. But you know what? He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. And even though it's hard, it's difficult, and there's all sorts of little things going on, there's a God in heaven who loves you so much. He's going to help you through it all. And when you get to the other side, you go, yes, yes. When you're standing on that podium, I don't think Michael Phelps, when he was standing there on his very last one, went, and he started crying, going, I can't believe I wasted my life on this. Why? I think he was going, I got it. I got it. It's mine. I don't think we'll ever get to the end of our life after enduring and moving and going after God, regretting anything that we've done for the service of our King. The result here. Oh, Aaron said this a couple weeks ago, and it really stuck with me, and I just want to bring it back up again. He talked about he doesn't play with Lincoln Logs anymore because he outgrew that passion for that. So he'll go and play with his kids, but he doesn't play with them anymore. He used to play with them a lot, but doesn't anymore because he outgrew the passion. And I loved what he said. He said, we're to outgrow our affections for worldly things. We're to outgrow our affections for worldly things. I thought, wow, how profound. Because we get into them, we think they're going to satisfy us, and then we find out, no, it doesn't work, and it doesn't satisfy, and all that. And we get smarter as we go through life, and we see all the things, and we get aware of all of the attractions out there, and we realize if I get in there, it's not going to help me at all. And we start outgrowing our desires to try and do, and we let go. I want to continue to outgrow worldly desires for things that God says no. He goes on to say, that he may please him who established him as a soldier. Our goal in life is to please him who established us with this commission, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're to please him and not ourselves. Talking about the athlete, four components here. He must compete according to the rules, it says. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, the word athletics means to contend in competitive games. He's not crowned unless he competes according to the we must compete according to the rules. Oh, are there rules in athletics? And what happens if you don't follow the rules? You get disqualified for cheating. Russia found that out. 118 athletes are not at the games because they got caught cheating. Spent all that time, all that effort, all that energy, endured all those hardships, and don't even get to compete because they lost out for one reason. They cheated. They didn't play according to the rules. I feel sorry for them. You know, I really hurt for them because there's some other ones that are up there and they're competing. You know what happens when they get up there and they introduce the person from Russia? You know what they're saying? Boo. They're booing them. I feel for them. You know, even some of the other athletes who didn't do all that are getting booed because the compadres did. You know, when you're in this walk for Jesus Christ, you're an example for him. And when we don't walk right, we put a bad example in the mouth of other people who don't know Christ, and they start booing Christians rather than going, oh, I know a Christian. Oh my gosh, he or she's amazing. We're always on call. We're always being looked at. And that's just the way it is. You can complain about it. You can do whatever about it. Instead, we should be honored that we get to represent our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in everything that we do. And we're always on call. And we're always being watched. And we're always a representation of him. Amen. Don't cheat. You can't win unless you compete according to the rules. Competitors of the Olympic Games back in Athens were required to swear that they had trained diligently for at least 10 months and that they would violate none of the regulations and rules of the game. I had to swear to it. You can't cheat. You can't cheat. Cheating means to get something by dishonesty or deception. Cheating suggests using trickery that escapes observation. Remember this, we're trying to think that we can cheat a little bit here in our walk and our morality. There are some rules. There's 10 major ones of them, and there's a whole lot of other ones. He set the rules to the game because it's his game. He said, I'm going to call a game. It's called life. I'm going to put people in the game. Hey, we're the pieces. He put us in the game. And then he says, here's the rules to the game of life. And he gave us the rules. And he says, don't cheat. Don't cheat. And I don't understand why we think we can cheat God, because he's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He sees everything you do. He sees everything you say. He sees everything you think. He sees everything. When your attitude goes in the toilet, he sees that. He sees when we're putting on a front. He sees when we're really not what we say we are. He sees it. And he says, hey, don't cheat. I understand that it's hard. I'm going to put people there to help you. I will encourage you. I'm going to give you my spirit, but don't cheat. But Lord, it's easier to cheat than it is to. I know. That's why I'm asking you to endure hardships. Endure. To be an athlete, you know what? It'd be a lot easier to not have to run all of those miles and do all that stuff and just sit down and eat ice cream and bonbons on the couch. It would be so much easier to cheat. There's no reward for that. I'm just saying this. Folks, it's easy to cheat on the Lord. But I'll tell you what, when you endure hardship, when you get off the couch, when you get out of that sin, when you start walking a different way, when you start acting a different way, when you start having a different attitude, when you start thinking differently, when you realize and it's taking energy and it's taking effort and it's hard for you to do this, there's a Lord in heaven looking, oh my gosh, I am so proud of you, man. I am so glad. You're doing awesome. There's a God in heaven that sees and when no one else sees. So God in heaven that knows what no one else knows about you. And he loves you so much and has such amazing and awesome and wonderful plan for your life. He sees everything. There's rules. It's not willy-nilly. It's not, I play by my own rules. That's like supposed to be something great now. I play by my own rules. I color outside the lines. I don't have a box. I understand, and there's some great things for creativity there, okay? Awesome. People have invented and done great things. But that metaphor only goes so far. To say, I do whatever the I want to is not biblical. I make up the rules as I go. I'm a free-spirited thinker. God doesn't want you to be a free-spirited thinker. He wants you to be a spirit-filled thinker. This is interesting. Playing by your own rules or making up your own rules as you go, and hear this, is exactly the rules that the devil has. The rules to his game are, there are no rules. You can do whatever that you want to. I don't know why I go, because it's only one syllable. It should be, you can do whatever that you want to. Understand that when that happens and we feel that, that's not coming from the Lord. That's coming from the father of lies, trying to say, well, you're a creative and innovative person. Go ahead and you can do that. You can handle that. When the Bible specifically says, that's not where you're supposed to be. Secondly, what does this athlete must do? He must run to win. He's not in it to sit on the bench. He's not in it because to be a part of a team. He's in it to be a part of the team and to win it, not to sit on the bench. As Christians, we need to be in the game. This is bench time right now. We're just all sitting down, okay? We're all on the bench right now. But this is just, we're resting, okay? Then we're going to get off the bench and get into the game. And the game out there needs you. And it needs you not to be sitting on the bench. It needs you in the game. It needs you being an example. It needs you being a leader. It needs you being an endurer. It needs you being a talker. It needs you being an encourager. It needs you out there in the game. Jesus Christ needs you in the game, not on the bench. But it's a lot easier to sit on the bench than it is to run the race in the game. But you don't get a reward for sitting on the bench. We're supposed to run in such a way that you may obtain it. Don't just be in the vent. Run it to win it. Put me in, coach! Put me in! I want to be in! No, it's not your time. I want to go! Put me in! We all need to be yelling at him, put me in. Put me in. Who will go? I'll go. Who will say something here? I'll say it. Hey, you know, they're defaming the name of the Lord. Hey, I'm going to say something. Not harsh. I'm going to say something spirit-inspired that all of a sudden make people go, oh, wow, that was interesting. I'm not saying we should say arrogant or stupid things or get a lick in for Jesus Christ. We're not getting licks in for Jesus Christ. We're supposed to get in love in for Jesus Christ. You should see how loving and caring and wonderful and awesome you are in your encounters. Aggressively pursue. Obtain it. Obtain the prize. Obtain the prize. Those Olympic athletes, the victors received a free meal in City Hall every day for the rest of their lives, part of their pension plan. And they also made a lot of money. It's interesting, you know, the athletes got paid even way back then. I was looking up Usain Bolt, his net worth. Before the Olympics 8 years ago, not much. After the Olympics, $60 million. His net worth is $60 million. I wish I could run fast. For my speed, I get 60 cents. Thirdly, we must be temperate, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Temperate means to exercise self-control. It also adds in diet and in chastity. Boy, I'll tell you, we're in a world today where chastity is not. We're in a world today where anything goes because we're playing by our own rules. And you know, we're messing up ourselves all over the place because we're playing by our own rules. But it's hard not to do that. Just a second. Endure. There's a second. I think I had something for that. Oh, yeah. Endure hardship. He understands it's hard. But he's going to help us. He's going to help us. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, a crown of green leaves. He ran it for a little fig leaf. That's going to fade away. We do it today for medals. Do you know what those, you know, the gold medal's worth? It's not gold. It's 95% silver. It has a little gold on the outside. It's worth, it's not bad, $587. $587 is what it's worth. A perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Do you realize at the end of your race, At the end of your saying no, the end of your enduring, the end of you going through all of this stuff, you're going to stand on a platform. This is my thoughts. This isn't biblical, okay? You're going to stand on a... You may not be standing on this. You're going to stand, and he's going to give you the prize. He's going to say this, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." No more hardship, no more dying, no more crying, no more sighing. Enter into the joy that I have for you. Wow, what a reward. Number four here, that athlete must discipline their body. "Therefore I run not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air." I'm not just shadow boxing, I have a real foe. I'm not just pretending I'm good. I'm actually fighting a fight with the enemy. "Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." I thought this was a real vulnerable statement by Paul. As he's preaching to so many people, talking about this, I'll talk about that in just a moment, but this vulnerability is what he was saying is, you know what, I'm telling everybody about this, to endure hardship and all of that, and I preach so much all of my life, and I'm just going to keep disciplining my body because I don't want to think all of a sudden, wow, Paul, you're really great. You're above some of this. Paul, you're so awesome. You've done so much for the kingdom of God. You deserve a break. You can look at some stuff over there. You can do some things. You can enter in some fleshy, because, you know, you should reward yourself. He said, no way, man. I'm in it to win it. I'm in it for the long haul. I don't want to disqualify myself by some stupid thing because I'm not enduring to the end. Keeps it under subjection. Keep it under subjection. An athlete must be disciplined if he's to win the prize. Discipline means giving up the good and the better for the best. Giving up the good and the better for the best. Oh Lord, help us to go after the best in you. Keep it under subjection. Paul knew his body. He knew the flesh. He knew it could sneak up on him. And so he kept always putting it down. No way, body. No way, body. No way. No way, flesh. No, you don't get that. No, no, no. He allowed his spirit to always stay on top of everything. And folks, as a spirit-filled Christian, we need to make sure that the spirit always stays on top of everything we do. You see, the body is a very good servant, but a very horrible master. A very good servant. It can do a lot of stuff. This body of mine, it can do a lot of stuff. But put it in charge, it's not a very good master. That's why God gave you the spirit of his own son to be the thing that rules your life. So that we're run by the Holy Spirit and we keep the body in subjection. The body says, hey, I did a really good job. Can I take a look? No, get down there. Hey, but I said, get down there. This life is run by the Spirit. Hey, but I got a few thoughts. And just listen for a second. No, get down there. The problem with us sometimes is we start listening to our flesh. And it starts talking to our spirit. And just like it did to Eve, it starts getting us confused. Trying to figure this out. And all of a sudden we think, oh yeah, that's okay. A little of that, oh, that's not too bad. I can handle it. And all of a sudden, we have the flesh running us rather than the spirit. We're spirit-filled, folks. Keep the spirit on top. Keep it on top. And the way you do that is by saying, no. I just want to, no. Just listen to me, no. No. Let me say it this way. You need to be a good knower. Let me say it this way. We need to know God and know the devil. We need to know God and know the devil. You're kidding me. Your pastor said you need to know the devil. Yeah, you need to N-O him. You need to K-N-O-W God, and you need to N-O the devil. We need to know both of these forces in our life. And you need to say yes to the one, and we need to say no to the other. We need to be a good knower. I want to be a good knower. I'll tell you what, every great Christian is a great knower. of both of those facts. God, help us to be great knowers for you. Let me move now to the farmer as we conclude. Bring this to a close. We talked about the soldier. We talked about the athlete. I'm going to run back now to 1 Timothy. We kind of jumped over to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to go back to 2 Timothy now, and we're going to finish that thought about the soldier, athlete, and farmer. He says, the farmer, the hardworking. What does it say about the farmer? The lazy, the idle. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. The emphasis here is on hardworking. 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 We have a diligent soldier who gains the approval of his commander. We have a dedicated athlete who wins the victory. We have a determined farmer who wins the first share of the crop. Three illustrations about working hard and enduring. But the cool thing about that farmer was this. God says, oh, you've been working hard. You've been working hard for me. You're going to partake of the fruit of your labors. Oh, you're going to enjoy what your harvest is. The sweat of your brow that invested, the sweat of your brow that put in seed, the sweat of your brow that watered it all, the sweat of your brow that brought in all of the harvest and got it all in and then ground it down to flour and made the bread. You're going to partake first of your harvest. God is going to reward you. God is going to reward you for your hard work. God is going to reward you for taking a strong stand for Him. God's going to reward you for walking tall as a Christian and unashamed. God's going to reward you for turning your back on some of the things your flesh wanted to do so your spirit could thrive. God is going to reward you for everything you have done for Him. And that reward will make the cost look like nothing. But there is a cost. And now sometimes when the reward seems a little distant, oh, keep on keeping on, saint. The reward's coming. The reward's coming. The reward is coming. But I don't see it now. It's coming. And it's going to be fantastic. God help us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the illustration of the Olympics, the hard work and dedication of so many athletes to work so hard for a gold medal. With Paul, as he was trying to inspire them many years ago through these games, let us be inspired today through these Olympic Games, Lord, to be that athlete who serves at the pleasure of his King and his Lord and his Savior, Jesus Christ, who works hard to advance the purposes of the kingdom. Help us, Lord. Anoint us, Lord. Empower us, Lord. Be with us, Lord. We love you so much, but we need you so much, Lord. It is hard to say no. It's difficult sometimes, and we ask you, Lord, let your presence fall upon us in such a way that allows us to stand up with backbone and strength and endure and keep on keeping on. The reason we do it, Lord, is because we love you so much. We're so thankful for your endurance for us, that you didn't jump down from that cross, but you endured everything to set us free. And now, Lord, it's our privilege. It's our privilege to be your servants, to endure but a little for you. Help us, Lord. Anoint us, Lord. in these number of weeks to come, anoint us, Lord, to be those that reach out, those that encourage, those that love, those that take time out of our day and the business of our schedule to greet somebody else, to warm somebody else's heart, to inspire somebody else in Christ, to talk about you. Lord, it is hard. Paul recognized that. But he said, oh, the reward is coming. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus, to work hard, to be a champion for the causes of Jesus Christ. We love you. We bless you. And we thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. If you don't know Jesus, today's a great day to come to know him. He loves you so much. He understands his heart. He understands you've fallen. He doesn't ever rub our nose in any of the problems we've gone through. Even when we go through hardships and we fall, he comes there to pick us back up, get us going, encourage us to keep moving along. Gives us another water ball, get us another Gatorade, keeps us in the race. But if you're having difficulty, come up here. We're going to pray for you. If you don't know the Lord, we'll pray for you. If you're having difficulty in your walk with him, we'll pray for you. If you're having infirmities or problems in your body, come up here. We'll pray for you. Whatever you need, we will pray for you. And God will move. Next week, I'm going to talk about your identity. How to protect your identity against identity theft. How do we be what Jesus Christ called us to be when so many things out there are trying to steal it from us? God's got some great answers. We're going to discover it next week. I love you guys a ton. I consider it a very extremely awesome privilege to get to address you. God bless as you go and serve and endure for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless.